Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé WTF Podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watch on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I am Nadia, and with me is my co-host, Lon.
Mary had a little... Sorry. I wanted to get that out.
I told you.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
So Libby does have a little lamb, I guess.
Hopefully. I liked that
That's
part.
Why it's no.
Yeah. I thought it sounded pretty good.
I know that she takes it very seriously.
Yeah.
Because I can't keep a straight face if I were to like go to a singing coach and I end up singing nursery rhymes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I like how the camera like kind of focused on the reaction.
Yeah.
And she's just nodding her head. Yeah. Like, oh, like I want to do nursery rhymes. And she's just like, it didn't say anything.
But what you got to say about that, Lon, about Libby and I guess it's only Libby this last episode, am I right?
Yeah. I enjoyed the scene with Libby. It was a nice break from the family drama because, you know, when it comes to Libby and Andre, it's always about the family. It's very rarely about Libby and Andre. And even though this wasn't really about Libby and Andre, I thought it was a refreshing scene to just kind of get into what Libby's really about and what Libby wants to pursue. For me, it was entertaining. It was definitely a highlight for me. And then the rest was about Andre's father visiting, which I also thought was kind of cool. It was refreshing to kind of get away from the drama of Libby's family.
Yeah. Was it this episode where Andre confronted the mom?
Yeah, that's right. You're right. They did. They did a little bit of that. Yeah, they met up. They met up at a diner or something like that, right? That's right. Okay, so I did make one interesting note about that.
Okay.
And when Pam says, you can't just cut people off, I'm just like, yes, you fucking can, right?
Especially they're toxic.
Especially that's what I'm getting at. Yes. Like these days, I'm all about protecting my energy. I think the younger me was very much a people pleaser. And I had a difficult time saying no. I had a difficult time cutting people off. I was always about giving people the benefit of the doubt. Mm. But now I'm about protecting my energy. And if you're toxic, don't drag me down with you. And I'm down to maybe help you with what you're going through. But if you're just going to bring me into your negative space, then I don't need that. So when she's like, you can't just cut people off. Dude, Charlie is fucking toxic. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he needs help. And it seems to me that y'all have been trying to get him help. Andre is right about this. Andre is right. Like, no, you're asking to get us back together. It's just not going to work out. You can't ask me to do that. I will say no, and I'm going to keep my family away from him. And I'm just like, until Charlie gets better, I'm with Andre on this one. So, yeah.
What was the mom's excuse again? Because did she say something about Charlie passionately drinking or something like that? Like, how was her excuse this time around? I forgot what she said, but I remember whatever she said, I was like, he's definitely an alcoholic.
Yeah, I forgot. The only thing I do remember was her like comparing it to Andre's drinking. Again, like, no, we're not even, how can you compare me? How can you compare us to? We're not the same. Yeah, and it's hard to prove. So I see it from Pam's view. When Pam is there, yeah. Like, I get it. He probably doesn't drink as much as Charlie, but then when they're in the same settings, they do. And when they fight, they're both pretty argumentative about it, you know? Yeah. So the way Pam sees it, I can kind of see that.
Yeah.
Like, but wait a minute, you're just as bad.
Yeah.
So I can kind of see that. If all she sees are when Charlie and Andre are together, then yeah, it does look like they're both kind of drinking and they're both yelling at each other and they're both getting violent with each other. So I did kind of see that, and I can kind of see the comparison. But I also understand where Andre is coming from, where he's like, no, I don't drink every day. I guess I'm more social or whatever. I'm not an alcoholic or whatever. And he's the one that comes at me and stuff.
If I were the mom, I would tell Andre, I would make Charlie go for AA meetings if you go for anger management classes.
Ah, yeah.
Because I think Andre has a problem too.
Yeah, he does. Oh, he totally does. I don't know. I don't want to say, every time I say culturally, it's not like I'm blaming the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I just think predominantly, and this goes for not just here, but around the world, a lot of societies are patriarchal. And I just think part of it is he's a man and he speaks to women how he speaks to women sometimes. It's just like, chill out, man.
Yeah, he definitely could use a little bit more tenderness in his communication.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Andre is the kind of guy who would get into a road rage.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Totally. Like, we all saw what he drives.
Yeah.
He would totally get into a road rage.
I like their house, though. That
yeah,
was
their
kinda,
house
that
is
was,
nice. Yeah, yeah, for sure. I like the kitchen. So, shall we move on to Kimbali and Usman, a.k.a. Soulja Boy, a.k.a. African Ambassador, a.k.a. Face of Arewa, a.k.a. a.k.a. recipient of wine thrown on face.
Let me tell you, the audacity of this woman to demand an apology after what she did?
Dude.
After what she did, right?
How dare she?
Yeah.
You assaulted someone and you asked for an apology?
Yes.
She's got balls.
Yeah. And I think we talked about this a little bit. We touched up on it a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. You're not. You're saying you are. You're saying you are, but you have no idea. Mm-hmm. You know, she has this completely wrong. She thinks, oh, I'm first wife. I'm like top dog. You know, there's a hierarchy here and she's beneath my station. And what I say goes. That's not actually how it is. And I don't know how Usman sold it to her. Maybe she's telling the truth and he sold it to her a different way. But here's how it's actually going to be. And here's the facts. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to tell somebody that you respect their culture and you respect their beliefs, then you're going to listen. Mm-hmm. And if you disagree, then you disagree. You're not going to try to change it. You're not going to try to enforce your way of thinking on it when it's their culture. Like, yeah. This is definitely something you're going to have to talk about. And he's over here saying how it's going to be. And she's like, again, making more and more demands until it gets to the point where she just throws a drink in his face in front of his friend.
Yeah, that is so BGL, so Angela.
Yeah.
And they do this to African men.
Mm-hmm.
Are we seeing a pattern here?
Definitely, definitely a pattern. Definitely a pattern.
Ugh. Anyway, may I read an excerpt from Reddit that I think summarized this whole Kimbali and Usman?
Let's go for it.
All right. So someone wrote, and I'm sorry I didn't get the Redditor's name, but I'll make sure I try to find where I got this comment. But this comment definitely resonated with me and how I thought about the two of them. So this person said, she actually believed that the second wife would be like a sex slave to crank out babies. She loves Usman, but she never wants to meet the children he has with the second wife. What the fuck? Women to women, you'll be okay with a woman being treated like an object? You're so insistent on him respecting you, but that respect doesn't extend to women in general? Obviously, I know the answer to all these questions. I just can't believe Kimbali is on national television admitting she'd not only be okay with Usman having a baby making slave, but she's saying she preferred that way. What a selfish, unaware fool. Kimbali, if you believe all that nonsense. Oh, yeah. I think I might have not copied the entire thing, but basically, yeah, what a selfish, unaware fool.
Facts. And it's spot on, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's selfish. She's only thinking about herself. We know that she's really not about this. Again, one of her first questions, right, was, what about the roles? Are we going to be equals? Like, she, I can't with her. I can't with her. And the more I see of her, the more I'm putting her on the scale of the BGLs and the
Angelas
of the show. Yep. Right, mm-hmm. right.
Yep, yep. So Shaida ended up apologizing to Bilal.
Yeah. About the incident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I must say I'm somewhat disappointed that she had to cave in to that. But she knows that if she didn't, then he would obviously be little Mr. Grumpy there.
Yeah, I just feel that that's the dynamic. That's the dynamic in the house, away from the cameras and stuff like that, is what he says goes. He's the boss. Whenever I see her get into this kind of submissive state, it takes me back to the tell-all when both her and Shahida, when they were kind of backing each other up about Bilal and how he does, how he operates, you can sense a nervousness. Even Shahido was kind of like almost reluctant and seemed like she was walking on eggshells as she was kind of speaking, almost like a trembling in her voice. Like, this is not a man you speak out against or something, right? So like, I kind of get this dynamic where if he says something, then it goes. And
I also feel for Shahida, she may not want to throw him under the bus completely because her kid's inheritance is also dependent on him.
Oh, yeah. So, and I get that. Yeah. And you're speaking about their father on national TV.
Right.
I would be hard pressed to do that against family members, too. Of course, like the cameras are rolling.
Yeah.
Like, regardless what the truth is, I'm obviously going to want to put the best face and present my family in however best light possible when something negative or whatever comes up. So I can understand that.
Yeah. I think, too, she really is a proponent of the prenup just because she and the kids will benefit from it. So she cannot completely throw him under the bus. Obviously, it would be beneficial for her to not talk trash about him, right? But
speaking of the prenup, is the clause is that she has to have a baby by 40? Is that right?
That's the recurring theme I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I take umbrage to how he calls baby making, or he compares baby making to a plague. Am I hearing it wrong? He told his mom that. It's like, she's talking about baby making like it's a plague. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, I don't know what he meant by that.
Yeah, like he's so opposed to it that he compares it to a plague.
Yeah, but he said something also about once this happens, your life is over as you know it or something. I forgot how he phrased it, but it's done. This is over. Like, damn. You know, my brother and his wife have three kids and they're happy. It's a journey and stuff like that. And he just doesn't see it that way. He just thinks all of a sudden fun stops. I kind of understand, but if he's as well-to-do and well-off as he says he is, then it shouldn't be a problem. I understand for people maybe who are living paycheck to paycheck and have trouble feeding themselves, much more like other mouths to feed.
Yeah,
I can kind of see it where like your life does kind of stop because now you have to live it for all of you, or you have to live it strictly for them.
Yeah.
But this guy should be able to take care of another child or however many Shahida wants, right?
Yeah.
I would think.
By the way, I stalked him, and according to his LinkedIn, he's a realtor sales associate at the Melfer and Associates Compass Realty Group in Kentucky, Kansas, I think. So yeah. And he has his own website, by the way, but it's not really active.
Oh.
Google it, guys. It's bilalhazis.com or something like that.
Well, he's getting that TLC money now.
Yeah. I know, right? All right. Also getting TLC money and having two houses. Sumit and Jenny. So another couple that I guess Sumit ended up apologizing. Well, Jenny also apologized. And I think during this episode, we see them going away to some parts in India, some remote part of India to vacation. Good for them.
It's the honeymoon, the official honeymoon, I think.
Oh, that is the official honeymoon? Oh, I didn't
think so, yeah.
Okay. Well, the only takeaway for me from this scene is the fact that Sumit wants to work and Jenny's upset that he will be away from her.
Right.
Like,
so,
Jenny, how are we supporting ourselves if one of us doesn't work?
I have some of my retirement checks coming in. Right. Yeah. So along those lines of your takeaway, this is where the age difference shows,
comes
right?
Yep. Like,
yeah, it comes in.
Because she wants to chill. She's at the age where, like, why work? I'm supposed to be chilling.
And the work was just one aspect. On the honeymoon itself, he's like, we're going to go do X, Y, Z because he's young and he's like, this is fun. Mountain climbing, kayaking, whatever, fucking whatever, right? There's to do. And she's like, I thought we could just chill and sit down and stuff. And he's like, No. Like, what are you talking? What? No.
This is where the age difference
The
becomes
age
more
is,
jarring.
yeah. It's not just all we're just going to be lovey-dovey and sit down and watch movies and eat and be lazy together, which sounds great to me at my age right now. But this guy's what, late 20s, early 30s, whatever
30s,
have you. He's got energy. And I think too, he's very proactive about wanting to be youthful. So it's like on our honeymoon, we're going to do activities. After our honeymoon, I'm very able-bodied. I'm young. Like, yeah, let
Let
me,
me go to
I'm a
work.
productive member of society. Yeah, he wants to do these things and take advantage of his youth while he has it. And she's just all about just stay with me. And we'll sit and eat fruits. So I don't know what her idea is, but this isn't it for him. Like, he's still got a lot of living to do. And I was like, yeah, all that stuff about age not mattering and, oh, we love each other. This is why it matters, and this is where, okay, where are the compromises going to be? How are you going to figure this out?
Well, I guess we'll wait
Yeah.
till the next episode where she's going to convince him to go back to the US with her.
Yeah.
This will be
And
very interesting.
to her point, though, 6 days out of seven is a lot. She was like, are you going to work 6 days a week? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, whoa, that is actually a lot of.
Time
So,
away.
yeah, that's a lot of
I
time
think,
away.
too, Jenny doesn't have a circle of friends maybe in India that she can like hang out with. Because, if your partner's away working and if you have like a strong support system or some circle that you can hang out with, I think she can kind of like entertain herself or like preoccupy
She's
herself. But
not
if,
like Yara. She can go have drinks with her girls. It's
exactly.
not like
She
that.
hasn't found her peeps yet. And maybe she needs to go find out if there are other Americans wherever she is, right? And maybe
Yeah.
just connect with those expats as
Oh,
well.
yeah.
But maybe Jenny's also very clingy. I don't know. It this part of her is starting to show,
Yeah.
So Lon, is there even a WTF moment on this episode for you?
For me, it was. What's her face? Kimbali. It was Kimbali, her position on being like first wife, her having the audacity to assault Usman and then demand an apology. This was all WTF for me. I didn't like it at all. And, as much as I think Usman is opportunistic about this relationship, I was even like talking to my TV saying, no, Usman, this is not it. You're not going to be happy. You're better off with somebody else. You know what I mean? This is not a good look. It's going to be another BGL situation, right? And I forgot all the drama that happened with BGL, but like, didn't she also like take his cameo money? I remember when we were texting back and forth, like, oh, did you hear there's all this drama and stuff? And he had to ask her for the money because he was overseas and she wouldn't give it to him. And I'm just like, that's fucked up. Like,
I mean, to be fair, I don't think Kimbali might do that to him. I think she's more honorable than that. I could be wrong, but if it comes down to that, like if she actually stooped that low, then yeah, she's probably in the same category as BGL
yeah.
and Angela. For now, I think she's being an American woman
Yeah.
in that sense. My WTF moment is Bilal talking to his mom, complaining about baby making because
Yeah.
Shahida wants to have a baby and almost comparing it to a plague.
The leg.
I was like, this dude, man. I mean, it's not so much of a WTF, but I'm not a fan of Bilal. So anything that comes out of his mouth is WTF to me.
Yeah.
All right, folks. We'll be right back after these messages. All right, we're back. And Lon, it's another episode of House of Dragon, aka Hot D.
The episodes just, I don't know, for me, they get better. They just keep
Oh,
getting
totally.
better. Yeah. There is a lot to unpack about this episode.
I wish we could go through every scene, but this would go on for hours because
It
there's
would.
so much to dissect. But I think, do we want to start with the main highlight, which is the wedding? Or do we want to go all the way to the back and kind of like cover bits and pieces of all the scenes that you can remember from it? For example, like them sailing to Driftmark to meet House Valyrian.
Who's they?
So the Targaryen, Viserys
Oh,
and
Viserys.
Daenerys. I think that's the first scene, right? We saw them on the ship. they were on their way to meet Lord Corliss and ask for Lenore's hand in marriage.
I think I went before that, and maybe I'm not remembering it correctly. Like, my first note, I think, was when Damon killed his wife.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yes. I think this was before the intro song. I apologize, guys. Yes. So
we only got to see her for what, 3 minutes, 4 minutes,
yeah,
maybe?
Lady
if that.
Rhea, right?
Lady Rhea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in the books, to be transparent, I haven't read the books, but in the books, it says Lady Rhea died of being crushed by her horse. They never said that it was Damon who killed her. But the show interpreted that as Damon killing her.
Okay.
Which makes, I mean, it's very creative of them to kind of put that two and two together.
Right.
So yeah, I guess we see Damon confronting his wife, and his wife obviously taunting him about, you know, why he's there. Is it time for them to consummate
their marriage? Yeah.
And
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the way her character was, it didn't look like she liked him anyway, too, though.
Yeah.
I don't think she deserved to die, but the way she was speaking of him, and, you know, she even said something to the fact, like, you know, after she said to consummate the marriage, and she said something like, not that I would be willing, or something. I forget how she said it. And I was like,
but our sheep's me.
She's roasting. Yeah, yeah, right. She's roasting this guy.
Yeah.
So it didn't even seem like she liked him very much anyway.
Yeah. Even when she was paralyzed, she was still roasting him.
Yeah, you craven.
Like, yeah, she said, like, I knew you couldn't finish. And then we saw him walking away and we thought, okay, this guy maybe, you know, showing mercy. Nope. He bent down and picked up the biggest rock he could find.
Yeah.
On the ground, and he probably, like, badgered her head with that.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the end of Lady Rhea as we knew it. Why do you think, Lon, he killed her? What's your theory on that?
There's a couple things. The first thought that came to my head was, when I was just taking it at face value, I just thought it was there to show that, like, this guy is ruthless. Like, he'll kill someone he's married to. But when I watched it again, he does it after she says something pretty distinct. She's talking about his ascension to the throne. And then she says, I forget how she phrased it, but, like, what are you going to do about that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then he looks at her like, oh, this is what I'm going to do. Like,
yeah.
To me, there's a silence where they're talking to each other in that silence.
Yeah.
And she interprets it as, you're going to kill me to make yourself single so that you can marry. Right, right, right.
Yeah.
In that moment, she understands why he's there and starts reaching for her weapon.
Yes. That's why she reached for her bow. And I thought that's that telepathic understanding of why he's there.
It's communicated. It's in the eyes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, she's smart that way, right? She knew why he was there because he was barely at the veil when they were married. Like, why did he suddenly come?
Yeah.
So then we move on to what I was just mentioning earlier, which is we saw Viserys and Rhaenyra sail to Driftmark to meet the House Valyrian. And I must say, my takeaway from that scene is how mature, even though we're in sort of medieval fantasy environment, but how mature that conversation is between Lenore and Rhaenyra, right? Because Rhaenyra was saying, I prefer, what was it she said? Wild turkey or wild goose. Something about wild goose and duck, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
and it's like her way of saying, I know you're different, but we have to do this because it's our duty. And it's the way that our parents want it.
Right.
And I think from then on, they had an understanding that they will have an open relationship / marriage.
Right, right.
Yeah, I like how classy that scene is.
It was well written.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
There was another phrase they used, but they said something like, they'll do their duty to the throne and whoever they dine with or something is up to them or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, okay, I get it. That was very well done.
Yeah. The other takeaway from that scene for me is between Viserys and Corlys, where Corlys was like, well, if Rhaenyra marries Laenor, then she's a Valyrian, not a Targaryen. right? Like she will take on our
Your
name.
name,
And
yeah.
then Viserys was like, okay, yeah, I'll let you have that. But when she ascends to the throne, it will
It'll
be
be
a
a
Targaryen.
Targaryen, yeah.
Because I think too, he believes in the myth, or rather the Song of Fire and Ice from Aegon. Like he wants to
Right.
continue that. He believes in that, like that whole, what do you call it, that prophecy. He
The
wants
prince
to,
that was promised.
yeah, the prince that was promised, because when that happens, a Targaryen is on the throne. So he wants to continue that. He wants to make that happen, right?
Right.
So I thought that was, according to Corlys, an equitable decision or something, an
Right.
equitable agreement, a compromise.
Right.
Yeah. And I think from what I can sense too, both Rhaenys and Corlys know that their son's different. But Corlys was kind of like looking the other way and saying, oh, he'll grow out of it. So then we came to the wedding. But before we get to the wedding, there were several scenes where we should, you know, discuss. One being the conversation that Larys Strong, the one that's like,
Again, yeah,
yeah, the one
I
that's
know who
like,
you're talking about, the
yeah.
guy who remarked on the flowers from Braavos, and he was like,
Yeah.
these flowers are native to Braavos.
Yeah, he's the one that's like, I think the
He sat
ladies
with
were
the
talking.
ladies.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, yeah,
Yeah. Yeah.
that's how I remembered him. He
He's so
sat with the lady.
strong, and he told Allison about the tea. And that's when Allison realized that, oh, if the maester's preparing Rhaenyra a tea, something's up. Meaning that I guess the tea meant like birth control tea or some abortion tea.
He actually gave Allison the tea. He
The
filled her
tea.
in on the
I
tea,
know.
basically.
Both
That's
literal and metaphorically,
funny.
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think at the time, which we're going to circle back to, at the time, Allison did not know that this was about Kristen Cole.
Yeah,
And
until she
Kristen
confronted him.
Cole,
Yeah.
yeah, he told on himself,
He told on
pretty much.
himself.
He told on
At that
himself.
time, he was feeling a little bit crestfallen from the conversation he had with
Yeah.
Rhaenyra on the ship, where he's like,
Yeah.
why don't we just sail away and
Right.
go to Essos?
Or as that one guy called him, cunt
Right.
struck.
Yeah, because I think he's a very proud knight, right? Because as a knight, he's not supposed to lose his virginity.
The oath of
He has to, yeah, he cannot break
was
the
it
oath,
chastity? I forget
chastity oath,
exactly.
yeah.
Yeah.
And he did. And I think it's because he has been holding a candle towards Rhaenyra, and he's always had a thing for her. So he really wanted them to get married because he knows that she's unhappy with her life. So
Yeah.
why bother going through with this marriage? And then, like you said, when Allison talked to him, because Allison wants to find out the truth, like, did she actually sleep with Damon? Did she screw around with some other guy? And then he fucking told on himself.
Yeah. And he'd rather
Die.
just die.
Yeah.
Yeah,
A quick
important
death.
part. Yeah,
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 yeah.
yeah.
So then we skip to the wedding.
Right. Are we calling this the green wedding? Is that the official?
It's
The
still red to
official
me.
unofficial?
No, I think it's still red to me because there were blood shed.
Yeah.
But I can see why you call it green, because green is a symbol of calling your bannermen to war.
Right.
So that's why she came into the hall wearing green.
Right.
Because at that point, she felt like she's trying to send out SOSs to her house, because her dad has left the Red Keep, right? So she has
Right.
no one else except for her, I guess, uncles or whatever that's still around. She's also trying to say to Rhaenyra without saying it that, hey, I'm over your BS.
Right.
That's
That
why she.
was kind of the statement too, why she arrived late, like
Yeah.
intentionally, right?
Yeah. And by the way, now that you mentioned arrive late, can we talk about how Jason Lannister was being a douche by saying, like, oh, can't wait on women, huh? This is why women don't go to war. Like,
Yeah.
jerk.
What a jerk.
Fucking Lannisters.
Yeah. And Viserys too, and Rhaenyra just kind of looked at each other. They gave the
Side
side
eye. Yeah, I know.
eye.
I think they've always been suspicious of the Lannisters, because the Lannisters seems like they're just as rich as the Highgarden, like the Tyrells. I don't know if the House Tyrell was around during this period, but they're rich. Like you hear them talking about their gold, their riches, and, you know,
Yeah.
Casterly Rock. So
yeah, the first episode too, I think when he offered her wine, it was like from his family's
vineyard
or whatever.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
it's the best wine. And then when she thanked him, he like spilled the glasses like me.
What a douche. But yeah, so she arrived late and Damon arrived uninvited. There is
Right.
a lot going on in that wedding that I think we just have to read the subtext of it.
Yeah. Did you notice Damon and Elena kind of like flirting with each other?
Yeah. You mean Leonor's
Yeah.
sister, right? The one in the villa? Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, what? And she's calling him like, people would be lucky to have you. And he's like, at first he's like, oh, it's because you don't really know me. And then, you know, I think she even came on to him. She said something like, oh, we can correct that or something like that.
Yeah.
But like you said, there's a lot going on. And there was a moment that was pretty intense, I thought, between him and Rhaenyra. It was super intense. Like, and it was kind of sexy. I was like, what the
sexual
fuck's
attention
going on? Yeah. She's all up in his face. Like the moment's passing, you know, you better shoot your shot one last time and shit like this. I'm like, yo, and not even hiding it. They're in the middle of the dance floor. I'm like, what are y'all doing, dude?
Yeah. Got the father worried for sure.
Yeah. People were looking like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Viserys is like, what are you doing?
I also feel like Sir Leno wasn't really hiding the fact that he's really close with his night guard or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he keeps going back to him and they were gossiping about how,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, I now know who Rhaenyra's paramour is. It's that guy. Look at how he looks at her.
Yeah.
And I guess next thing you know, there was a fight that broke out. And I think it's because Criston Cole has been keeping a lot of things inside. And I think when he heard that someone else figured it out, that he's always had a thing for Rhaenyra, he like couldn't take it. And that's why he bashed.
Yeah, there's a few different ways to interpret his anger. I had a discussion with some other people who also watched the show, and I interpreted a couple of ways, but one of the ways I interpreted it was when that guy, that one guy, his lover, whatever, approached Criston, he was like, oh, you know, we can have our relationships as long as we keep our secrets safe.
Yeah.
Which wasn't true for Criston, because Criston shot his shot and he got shot down. So he was like, well, if we're being fair, then if I can't have Rhaenyra, then you can't have, do you know I mean? Then,
yeah,
then,
yeah, I can see
then
that.
Then Laenor can't have you because he wasn't going to be her whore or whatever, right? You want me to be your whore?
Yeah.
And yeah, so what the guy was proposing or what the guy was saying was already like, hey, we're good, you know, as long as you keep the secrets, we're good. And he's like, no, we're not.
That's a very clever interpretation. I didn't see that way, but yeah, well, you're right.
And that was probably the most brutal shot that I've seen since like Oberyn's face explode or head exploded.
Yeah.
I was like,
I was listening to several podcasts and one of them actually said, why can't he just kill him with a knife rather than batter him to smudges to like,
yeah, the brutality of that.
Yeah. Like, I think that's just for gore. You know what I mean? Like, you're a knight, you have a sword, just freaking sword fight it out or like stab him one time.
It's a crime of passion. Yeah.
In medieval times.
Yeah, in medieval times. Right, right, right. And when it's a crime of passion and when there's something personal.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think execution style, it's usually not personal. It happens quick.
Yeah.
But when it's a crime of passion, there's something there. There's an anger underneath it.
It's venting
and it's
out.
Just not, yeah, it becomes overkill. It becomes somebody, you know, in all the true crime shit that I've seen, it becomes someone being stabbed excessively 32 times rather than just a quick cut you in your jugular or whatever. It's like, I'm gonna,
Yeah, you're right. Like when someone's being efficient with their murder, like you say, it's quick. But then when it's a passion and when it's like anger and also sadness involved.
Something
in
fucking
it, right?
Personal, like,
Yeah, they definitely want them to feel pain, you know. So then the last scene was them getting married and you can see Laenor almost weeping and almost crying his heart out because
that was so
his
sad,
true lover.
Dude. He's still sniffling and mourning the death while getting married to someone. I really felt for him that time.
You would think that's a red flag for his parents, but they were like, yep, just go ahead with it. Let's just marry them off.
Yeah. Everyone knows the deal. We're doing this to like combine houses. This is a strategic play. We're not marrying for love here.
Yeah. And their kids are just pawn.
Yeah.
That's sad. But then the previews is what excites me the most. The next episode, we're going to see a huge time jump where a lot of the main cast will be recasted, I would say, right? They're using different actors to show that they've aged. Weirdly, they're still using the same Daemon, same Viserys. Viserys is slightly bald and losing his hair. But we'll see a different Alicent. We'll see a different Rhaenyra, Lenor, and even, I guess, Laena, the Valyrians. And then we'll see that, Lon, do you know why her kids are not white-haired?
No. I didn't even put that together.
Yeah, so did you see the preview?
I did. I wasn't engulfed in it. I wasn't paying attention that closely. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I didn't put that together.
So this is my theory from watching a lot of these YouTubes and listening to podcasts. So the preview shows Rhaenyra bringing her just born child. She just gave birth and she's bringing her child over to Alicent because the queen called for her. And you see Laenor coming in and he's like, oh, how was it? Because he's not there for the birth. He's not even bothered. Because they've never consummated their marriage. So you'll see that she'll have three kids with dark hair. So they're not his, right? Not Valerian's. And that's because I think she's having an affair with her new Night Guard, who is Sir Harwin Strong, which is the hand of the king's brother.
All right.
The guy who's really strong. I think the guy who like, in the wedding, you see that he kind of like stopped people, or he was the other strong knight, I guess.
He stopped her on the night at the town, right? Who are you? What are you running from? And she's like, Sir Harwin. And he's like,
Yeah.
So, go run along, boy.
So, that's, I think, who she's sleeping with and who she's been having kids with. And then the queen wants to see the baby because she's trying to make a point to Viserys that, hey, look, your daughter's like literally and metaphorically fucking around here. Like she's not having babies with her actual husband. And you're going to tolerate that? So I think also she wants to push for Aegon to be the true heir.
Yeah. Well, one of the notes I made in this episode, I think it started off because it was her father's prodding. Because there's a scene in this one where when he's leaving, it's the scene where he's leaving and she's like crying. And then she's like, if you weren't so like pushy about fucking making Aegon like king and stuff. And then he had to tell her like, hey, fucking pay attention.
Yeah.
The world's going to fucking burn if this happens. And Rhaenyra is going to kill your children. Pretty much, right?
Yep.
If you do not, you better wake the fuck up, right? Yep. And I think that's when she's like starting to realize it. Because I think she was still kind of leaning towards, no, like Rhaenyra is still the true successor and stuff.
Yeah. And like, before that, she was team Rhaenyra, but especially after talking
found out.
To,
Yeah.
That's when she's like, oh, you got my dad fired. And now I'm on to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do have one question for you.
Okay.
As Kristen Cole is about to kill himself, Alicent stops him. Why would they show that? Like, do you think that's going to pop up? How is that going to manifest in the next five or so episodes? Like, is Kristen still going to be part of the show? Why did that scene happen? There's got to be something there, maybe, or else it'll be like some kind of loose end for me.
Yeah. So remember when Alicent, after she became queen and she finally had that talk with Rhaenyra, and she said, it's very lonely being in this position.
Right.
People may respect you as a queen, but you have no allies. You have no friends because all she does is pop out babies for the king. It's not like she enjoys it, as you can tell from that one scene, right? So I think the reason why she stopped Sir Criston Cole from killing himself is because she needs that ally. She needs that ally who knows what Rhaenyra is like. So that if Rhaenyra were to stake her claim to the throne, someone could be on Alicent's side to stop it. I think that's her motivation, if I'm not wrong, because she doesn't have anyone else in the Red Keep. Like, she doesn't have anyone else that she can ally with.
Right. I figure that relationship is going to come up.
Yeah.
In some way, shape, or form, there's something significant that's going to happen based on that one small scene.
Yeah. There's a bit of a discrepancy, I feel, because she should be more afraid of Rhaenyra, being that Rhaenyra is a dragon rider. And the Targaryens and the Valyrians have dragons.
Right.
I wonder
but she's
why.
The queen. She's letting the title get to her. She's the queen.
But I also feel like, okay, you're the queen, but what's to stop Crazy Daemon from burning everything down with this dragon? You know what I mean? And then the only excuse I can think of is, well, maybe it's so common to have dragons and dragons are more kept at bay. It's normalized. So no one feels like, oh, one person has a big advantage and others are not. You know, I just don't know why Allison wants to go up against Rhaenyra.
Rhaenyra that way, yeah.
Because now that Rhaenyra is married to the Valyrian, like, she has an army, a navy, and dragons. And Allison has what? Crimson Cole?
Yeah.
The High Towers?
Yeah.
Okay. And maybe the other realms? Okay, but the other realms also pledge their allegiance to Rhaenyra. I mean, when her father is still alive, but pretty sure once Viserys goes, then that's when the real war starts. But then also, she has Daemon on her side. Rhaenyra has Daemon.
And that's why I'm like, crazy.
Why is Allison trying to like really poke her? Because if Rhaenyra wants to, she could have Allison killed at any point.
Yeah. At this point in the game, I think it is kind of one of those, it's crunch time mode now. And it's like what her father said, like, prepare Aegon for the throne.
Yeah.
So this is it. Like, she's like, here we go. We got to get it.
Yeah.
It's time.
Yeah. All right, Lon. That's our coverage of, I guess, episode 4 of House of Dragon. Is it episode 4? Damn, I'm so bad at keeping up with
episodes. It's 5. I think we're halfway.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's episode 5. Yeah. All right. I guess till next time. Any last words?
Thank you, and let us know what you think of the show.
By the way, I just want to say I caught up on Ted Lasso, and I can totally see what the hype is. Ted Lasso is amazing. Ted Lasso on Apple Plus.
Oh, yeah. I still need to jump on Apple Plus.
Yeah. And also, I finally caught on Abbott Elementary.
Is that on Apple Plus too?
That's on ABC. So if you have regular cable, or if you have Hulu, it's on Hulu, but it's funny. I can see why these shows win awards is because it's really top-notch.
I'm so behind. There's The Handmaid's Tale also started back up, and I haven't watched that. Yeah. There's a lot.
All right, folks. Thank you for listening. Be nice to one another. And till next time.
Till next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.